within 1 month of taking office, President Obama secured $80 billion U.S. for renewable energy and green infrastructure. And then just 2 weeks ago, the House of Representatives passed the Waxman-Markey bill, which, for all of its flaws, does put a price on carbon and is very much a step in the right direction. But it is the awareness itself that will drive the change. And one of the ways it will drive the change is through global governance and global agreements.
Change has come to America.
The truth out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
From the heartland of America, bowed but not broken, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody. Welcome to Monday, July the 13th.
13! Yes, and we are here. Thanks to the Holy Spirit and modern medicine.
Yes. Better living through chemistry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, we're both feeling better. Or, well, I should speak for myself. I'm feeling much better. And I was able to actually go out and do a little cleaning in the backyard, get rid of some more of those black walnut trees. Black walnut trees are the fastest growing plant in the history of the universe, faster than kudzu.
They do grow really fast. And you know what? They're hard to kill.
They're impossible to kill.
Based on our experience so far, they do seem to be impossible to kill.
Yeah, mulberries run a close second.
Yeah, so. Well, I'm feeling a little bit better. I'm still really fighting this really bad flare-up of fibromyalgia. And I also, if you've ever had tennis elbow, I have computer elbow.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what else to call it, except that when I I often will spend as many as 8 to 12 hours in front of a computer mm-hmm. with a laptop. And your left elbow... Because I'm, you know, well, both elbows, but my left is the worst, are permanently crooked at about a right angle. And apparently my nerves aren't very happy about that. Yep. They've swollen dramatically. You can see the big difference.
I can.
Between my left arm and my right arm. It's appreciable.
Yeah. And I can totally relate because I went through that because I sit in front of a computer all day at work and have for probably for the better part of the last 15 years. If it wasn't for that weird, oddly shaped ergonomic keyboard
that I love.
You have
a great, but I use a laptop all day long, so, and I haven't yet to see an ergonomic laptop.
No, those are hard to close. The lid doesn't fit. But I know exactly
an
what you're
An ergonomic
mean.
One where they just say arg all done.
Yeah, that's kind
mine
of what
does
we need
that.
Right now.
Yeah. But anyway, essentially I am, because of the fibromyalgia and other things, I have just decided to stay away from the internet for a couple of weeks. I just am not even looking.
Cold turkey.
And I need to, I have not opened the laptop in 2.5 days. And I'm going to try really hard to avoid because I want to. Mm-hmm. I'm addicted to it.
Uh-huh.
But I've got to get this left arm healing. It really, really hurts.
Yeah.
So I'm essentially your guest today.
That's right.
Because I don't know what's gone on in the news. I'm just going to react. I'll go like this.
Gasp.
Gasp.
Well, as per usual, the powers that be, those who seek to control the rest of us are at their work once again. We didn't talk about this last week, but then we only did two new shows last week. Al Gore, in giving a speech to some group, he was
over in the UK.
That's right. The World Forum on Enterprise and the Environment, sponsored by the UK Times, said that the Congressional Climate Bill that's passed the House and is now going to the Senate, which has been delayed by the Senate, by the way, until September.
It'll pass.
It will. And we'll talk about why in just a minute. But he said that this would help bring about global governance, that the whole point of bringing the United States under into a system that requires limits on how much carbon we can put into the atmosphere is to bring about global governance.
I have a theory.
Yes?
As to why it's been delayed till September.
Why is that?
Well, it wasn't very popular.
That's true.
With voters. And I suspect that they have sort of moved it off the Senate agenda for because they're going to go, what is it, 1st of August or so that they recess?
I think so.
Well, anyway, they were not going to have it on this agenda, and so they won't be back until late September or something, or even early October. It's whenever they come back, that's when it's going to be on the agenda. September, I think it's the 23rd or 24th, is the finance minister meeting, the G20, that Sam attended last year.
Yes, yes.
He'll be attending that again this year.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the picture of Sharon's website, please go there. It's
he was at the G8, too.
Yeah.
You know, he was campaigning pretty hard for those bees. But anyway, in September, in Pittsburgh.
Oh.
Yes. Uh-huh. Strangely enough, in bottomless Pittsburgh, at least it will be when all of those guys are there, the G20 finance ministers, along with some major heads of state. I can't tell you who, but I've been hearing rumors that it will be more than the finance ministers who are here. So I suspect that big announcements will be made then, that suddenly it will pass, you know, with we know at least one senator on the Republican side who will vote for it.
Yeah, sadly, our senator, Republican Senator Dick Lugar from Indiana. Well, one of the reasons that we think it's going to pass, even though the Senate appears to be more reluctant than the House, and the House barely passed the bill, is that Goldman Sachs stands to gain from this bill. Now, Rolling Stone writer Matt Taibbi, and I hope I pronounced his name correctly, did a recent piece at Rolling Stone about government by Goldman Sachs, essentially. And he may have taken it too far. Essentially, in his piece, he blames Goldman Sachs for every economic bubble that we've had since the Great Depression, including the Great Depression. Now, that may be taking it a little too far, but the fact remains that every Secretary of the Treasury we've had for the last 20 years is an alum of Goldman Sachs.
Mm-hmm. And how much did they give toward Obama's campaign?
Well, they were the number two. Goldman Sachs was the number two donor to the campaign of Barack Obama. This from a sector, an economic sector, big banking, that is supposedly in the pocket of Republicans. They gave far more to Barack Obama than they did to John McCain. And, of course, Goldman Sachs alums like Lawrence Summers and Robert Reich have, you know, gave the young freshman from Illinois, the senator from Illinois, credibility for his economic acumen by praising his proposals and giving them the rubber stamp of approval. But they are going to wind up benefiting. Goldman Sachs stands to make a lot of money with cap and trade in place because they are heavily invested in the Chicago Climate Exchange, which is like the New York's Mercantile Exchange or the Chicago Board of Trade, except that all you trade there are carbon offsets, carbon credits back and forth. Goldman Sachs is heavy into that. Dick Lugar's a member of the Chicago Climate Exchange, too. So we would be surprised. Not that we want to attribute this monolithic power to Goldman Sachs, but the fact that they're there and that they are so heavily invested and in the government, both major parties, that it is very likely that they will get it passed.
Well, they may as well just change the changes from a dollar standard to a cow patty standard. I mean, it's just about that silly as far as I'm concerned. But what it's going to do for you and our listeners and myself is that our bills are going to go up at the pump and in the house. I mean, all of our energy bills are going to go up.
Yeah. And
unless, of course, you have a forest in your, you know, you're living on a forested acreage like Dick Lugar.
And you can get the government to pay you for not cutting down your trees.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I must have cost us at least $5 or $6 by ripping up those little black walnut trees in the backyard.
Drat.
Ah, what was I thinking? Well, this relates to an article just published at the Illuminati Conspiracy Archive by Paul and Philip Collins, who will be there are guests this weekend, this coming weekend.
Your guests.
Well,
I mean, it's your talk show. I think it's, I am so proud of you. You do the best job with the View from the Bunker, VFTB. VFTB radio. Mm.
And you're a professional jingle singer. We should put that down to use. Seriously, she did that for many years.
I did.
But I talked to Paul and Phil about their article called Survival of the Richest. And here's where, and this is why I really respect Paul and Phil and really appreciate the work and the research that they do, because they show in this article, and we will talk about this at length this coming weekend, why this corporate welfare state that began under the Bush administration has really taken root under the Obama administration is not just a difference of policy, not a difference of politics. It is rooted in a theology. It is all about and this is why they called the article Survival of the Richest. It's all about this, you could almost call it neo-Calvinist belief by the elites that they are where they are because they're supposed to be where they are. It's not exactly divine right of kings because, let's face it, most of the Western world doesn't believe in God anymore, or at least a good chunk of it. It's almost like a scientific right of kings or a Gaia's right to rule. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're using to justify doing what they're doing, which is essentially setting up a massive wealth transfer program from the schlubs in the bottom of the pyramid, like us, to them.
Amen. Well, Jeremiah Wright preached to Obama when he was paying attention. He claims he didn't really notice a lot of those sermons. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But his theology is a liberation theology, and it's sort of like dominionism married to communism.
Yeah.
It's a socialist version of dominionism.
Right. And when you marry that to the what Paul and Phil call the Promethean faith of those like Nancy Pelosi, who wrote the stimulus plan in her office, or her staff wrote it in her office, you know, delivered it to Congress mere hours before they were supposed to vote on that, 1,100-page monstrosity?
1,201 or something like
something
that?
Something like that.
And that doesn't include what they're going to insert later.
Sure. But the belief is that they are essentially engaging in a social Darwinist experiment that leaves the fittest still standing at the end and the unfit kind of fall by the wayside, hence survival of the richest. In fact, and they point out one of the uses of this stimulus bill money, the stimulus plan money, National Cash Register, which is in Dayton, Ohio, has been for 125 years, has announced just recently that they're going to close their operations in Dayton. They're moving to Georgia. 2,100 people in Ohio will lose their jobs, those that don't take or are offered the opportunity to move to Georgia. But it came out in the reporting of the story down in Georgia that the government of the state of Georgia is using money from the stimulus plan to buy an old Panasonic building to serve as the new facility for National Cash Register. They're using stimulus money, which is supposed to create jobs, and using it to raid jobs from other states. Survival of the richest. It's a Darwinist view. It's a view that those that survive are supposed to survive. I'm rich because God wants me to be rich kind of mentality. And that is apparently the dominant belief system in the nation's capital today.
And if you'll send in your seed tax payment.
And, of course, this is a belief that crosses barriers. It doesn't just pertain to economics. It also pertains to life itself. We read that Obama's new science czar, John Holdren, wrote about 30 years ago, co-wrote a book with Paul Ehrlich and Ehrlich's wife about how overpopulation was threatening the planet. And in order to avoid this population-based catastrophe, you know, overrunning the carrying capacity of the Earth, that perhaps governments of the world should be willing to consider forced abortions, sterilized by putting infertility drugs in the water supply, that single mothers and teen mothers should have their babies seized from them against their will and given to more fitting parents, people more suited to be parents. And that people who, and I quote now, contribute to social deterioration, and continuing to quote, can be required by law to exercise reproductive responsibilities. In other words, to be forcibly sterilized.
This is eugenics.
This is eugenics. And this is...
Margaret Sanger would be proud.
Margaret Sanger would be proud. This is written by John Holdren, who is now serving as the president's advisor on science and scientific issues. Now, to the best of my knowledge, he has not disowned or distanced himself from what he wrote. This was from a 1977 book. And there's a website that I'll link to in the show notes at PIDradio.com that shows page scans from the book to prove that this isn't something that some hysterical internet researcher is inventing off the cuff or taking out of context. In fact, when you read these sentences in context, it's even scarier.
Well, you know, the truth is that not very many Americans are going to know about this, not because they choose to be asleep. I know that there are some who argue that there are a lot of Americans who do. But the fact is that the news source choices have dwindled down to three.
Yeah.
You essentially have the Murdoch camp, the Disney camp,
right,
and the GE camp.
Right. General Electric, which owns NBC, which, you know, of course, that includes all of their umbrella networks like MSNBC, CNBC, Telemundo for the Spanish-speaking audience, Sci-Fi, or the newly renamed SIFI. Now, they call it Sci-Fi. It just looks like SIFI.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, Bravo and USA and I think a number of others.
They control – they're able to shape a lot of opinion and a lot of beliefs because of all of the media outlets that they control. Mm-hmm. GE is essentially becoming government entertainment.
Exactly right. And it's curious to note, perhaps, that MSNBC, which was essentially the Obama, the official network of Barack Obama during the campaign, a subsidiary of General Electric, we now learn that the GE is through a loophole in the Temporary Liquidity Guarantee Program set up by the Federal Reserve, has allowed GE Capital, which is GE's banking subsidiary, to raise $80 billion while paying below market rate interest. Perhaps an example of Chicago-style patronage, since NBC and MSNBC were so much in Obama's corner during the election. Really, the things that Barack Obama has done since coming to office are really not all that different from what the mayor of Chicago traditionally does when he gets into office. You start doling out patronage to those that helped you along the way. And when you look at it from that standpoint, his appointments, his political appointees make a lot more sense.
Well, got to do a left turn. Got to get back to that G8 meeting.
Yes.
Excuse me. There was a little piece that I wrote before I left the internet. I'm going into withdrawal over this, folks. I really am. But I got to stick with this.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like a diet. There was an article that I wrote at my site that is about Dmitry Medvedev, who was showing off a gold coin that he had received from an organization that is promoting a virtual one world currency. The currency will be backed by gold, well, 1 ounce, I assume, coins.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like Krugerrands, except it would be a one world currency. Krugerrand, the Gaia Yand, I don't know. And he's holding it up. I link in my article to the website itself. And it was really funny when I was writing that article. The first time I went in there, I was able to get to all parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was writing the article and I went back in to verify some stuff, I wasn't able to get access.
Huh.
I was locked out of it.
Literally,
I was locked out of it. I got no access permitted.
That's really interesting.
Oh, it was very, very odd.
I wonder if they've been tracking this IP address.
Well, and who doesn't? I mean, come on.
Well,
but,
that's true.
But the way it's being spun is that Medvedev is the one who's calling for the currency, but it isn't. It's this organization. They passed out the coins, and he was just showing off his.
Well, the world effectively has the beginnings of an international currency and the special drawing rights issued by the International Monetary Fund. So it wouldn't take a whole lot of economic hoodoo to make it work.
Well, China's behind it. Russia's behind it. Mm-hmm. Venezuela's behind it. I think Japan's even jumping on board with it. There are a lot of Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. a lot of countries that have called for something other than pinning their hopes and dreams to a dollar that is, even though the dollar is not the world currency, mm-hmm. Many things are pegged to it.
Right.
And the more money we owe others, the less it's worth.
And sometimes
and the less it's worth, the more we owe.
Well, actually, that's sometimes by design.
Yes.
Because if we owe a lot of money we owe a lot of money to China, but as the value of our dollar drops.
But isn't that Keynesian?
It is.
Yes.
It's entirely Keynesian.
And that's ate up Keynesian.
Yep. But the philosophy of Keynes is the dominant philosophy of the economists in the positions of power right now.
Pardon my French, but Keynes pulled theories out of his proverbial butt.
Yeah,
he literally did. He didn't sit down as a good theoretician and try to determine what was going on and how to change things for the better based on models that were from the past. He just made stuff up.
And yet he has influenced the majority of the most influential economists serving in governments around the world today.
Mm-hmm.
The guys who believe in hard currency, a currency backed by something of value, like the Austrian school of economists, they're essentially treated like, like we are by the mainstream media. Internet conspiracy theorists, they're all crazy. So it all comes down to, again, what Paul and Phil Collins call the Promethean faith. They believe the one-worlders, the globalists, who want to bring us all under this global government, as Al Gore suggested this climate change bill would do, because they believe that we can create heaven on earth, literally create heaven on earth.
Yes.
And that is a very new age belief. But the irony
of
this...
It's an old age belief,
because
it's Nimrod.
In fact, it goes all the way back to the garden. Ye shall be as gods.
Exactly.
That's what it comes down to. And the irony of all of this is that the dominionists, Christians who have been sucked into this circle of dominionists who believe that we need to prepare the world for the return of Jesus Christ, are fallen into that New Age trap.
Absolutely. This notion that somehow we're going to bring God down.
Mm-hmm. Ain't
based
gonna
on
happen.
Building things up. We're going to bring him down.
Yeah, ain't going to happen. I mean, if you take
He's going to come whether they build it or not.
Exactly, right.
Look, it's not like this. It's not if we build it, he will
it's
come.
It's not Field of Dreams.
No.
No, it's... the timing is his and his alone. And so, Christians, there's no excuse for us to buy into this theory that we need to go out and serve as God's hands beyond doing what we were commanded to do, which is caring for the helpless, taking care of the widows and the orphans and the elderly and our parents and our friends and our family. That are the things we're supposed to do. But this idea that we're supposed to conquer the world for Christ as some sort of Joel's army is heresy, flat out heresy.
Well, and it's a bad, interpretation of that verse.
Well, anyway, that's what we got for today. And let's see, there'll be a new episode of the God Conspiracy audiobook posted online shortly. It was delayed over the weekend because they did server maintenance and an upgrade at the hosting company that podiobooks.com uses, but should be up shortly. And I'll post a note to my blog when that's online and live.
And I'm staying away from the internet, Facebook, Twitter, staying away from all of them. But you can go there if you want to. I am reading books.
Yeah. You should.
Analog books.
Paper and everything?
I know. Turning the pages, the whole, really old-fashioned thing. I just finished 2010.
Yes. A little different from the movie. Huh?
It's a lot different from the movie.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot different from the movie.
Digging into that myself.
It's well worth reading. And now I'm going to jump into some Peter Lavenda.
Oh.
Not light reading at all.
That's dark at all, yes. But I'll still be checking the email, so if you've got something you want to pass along, you can send it to radio@peeringintodarkness.com. And, of course, the link at the show notes there, PIDradio.com. In the right-hand column, you'll find the links to all of those places, including the Piercing the Darkness Forum. And until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, not on the internet anymore for a while. Bye-bye, everybody.
Oh, I see it now. There's a new day coming. There's a new day coming down.
cutting-edge news and analysis on demand.
This is PID Radio.